الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and He has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue our classes related to Allah's mercy. And last week we started about Allah's mercy in the life of the prophets, and we started with Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him. Today, inshallah, we will still continue with Allah's mercy in the life of Prophet Ibrahim and his forbearing son Ismail. Actually, last week we learned that Prophet Ibrahim was the role model in his pure faith in Allah's oneness. He had a pure heart and he surrendered himself totally to his Lord. He was equal to a nation in his belief in Allah as he confronted his people who threw him in the fire, but Allah, the most merciful, saved him out of his mercy. Today, inshallah, we will move on to the second episode in relation to Prophet Ibrahim's story. And actually, we will learn that after Prophet Ibrahim was saved from the fire, he decided to migrate. He decided to migrate both mentally and physically. Actually, he left everything. He left his father, his family, home, people, and land, leaving them all behind and going to his Lord, free of all concerns. Prophet Ibrahim surrendered himself to Allah, and he was assured that Allah the Almighty will give him the guidance and the care, and Allah will guide him to the right path. Let us know about how Prophet Ibrahim called on Allah the Almighty to guide him after he migrated from his land. We will read from Surah number 37, verse number 99.
Rahman al-Rahim. وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he said after his rescue from the fire, verily I am going to my Lord, he will guide me.
Okay. Actually, he decided to leave this country, his land, and he was looking for Allah to guide him to the right path. Until this moment, Prophet Ibrahim was without children. He had left behind his friends, his relations, and also he left the people who threw him in the fire, and this actually was the end between him and his people. He called on Allah the Almighty, and we will read about what he called on Allah for in the same surah, surah number 37, verse number 100, the next one. He called on Allah saying, Rabbi habli min as-salihin.
My Lord, grant me offspring from the righteous.
Actually, this was the call of Prophet Ibrahim to Allah the Almighty. Now we will learn about the story of Prophet Ibrahim with his son, and we will learn about Allah's mercy in the story of Prophet Ibrahim. At the beginning, we must learn that Prophet Ibrahim had a wife. Her name was Sarah, and she was sterile. She had been given an Egyptian woman, Hajar, as a helper. Sarah offered her son Ibrahim, her servant, in marriage. Hajar, the servant or the helper, she gave birth to Ismail when Prophet Ibrahim was 88 years old. Actually, Sarah became the wife because she became upset, and she asked Prophet Ibrahim to take his wife Hajar and his son and to leave the place, to move away. She was very jealous. She was very upset. So she told him, leave the place, you and your son and your wife. Actually, this is the beginning of a great hardship in the life of Prophet Ibrahim, but we will learn how Allah's mercy saved him from that hardship. One day, Prophet Ibrahim woke up and he asked his wife Hajar to get her son and to prepare for a long journey. In few days, Ibrahim started out with his wife Hajar and their son Ismail. The baby was still nursing and not yet weaned. Ibrahim walked through cultivated land, desert mountains, until he reached the desert of the Arabian Peninsula and came to an uncultivated valley, having no fruits, no trees, no food, and no water. The valley had no sign of life. After Ibrahim had helped his wife and the child to dismount, he left them with a small amount of food and water, which was hardly enough for 2 days. He turned around and walked away. His wife Hajar hurried after him, asking, "Where are you going, Ibrahim, leaving us in this barren valley?" Ibrahim didn't answer her. He continued walking. So she repeated what she said, but he remained silent. Finally, she realized that Allah has commanded him to do so. So she asked him, "Did Allah command you to do so?" He replied, "Yes." This is a command from Allah. So the great wife answered, "We are not going to be lost, since this is Allah's command." This is one of the great messages of the, you know, of the life of Prophet Ibrahim in this story. We are not going to be lost, since Allah is the planner of everything. Okay? Actually, Prophet Ibrahim left them, and when he was far enough where she couldn't see him, he raised his hands and supplied to Allah with this supplication. We will read about Prophet Ibrahim's supplication in Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, verse number 37. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون.
O our Lord, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivatable valley by your sacred house, the Kaaba, and Mecca, in order, O our Lord, that they may become a salat, to fill some hearts among them with love toward them. And O Allah, provide them with fruit so that they may give thanks.
So actually, Prophet Ibrahim, in spite of the fact that he left his wife and his son alone in a valley which has no signs of life, but he called on Allah, the provider and the sustainer. He called on Allah to fill some hearts among men with love towards them and to provide them with fruit. Actually, to continue the story, Hajar, that is to say Ismail, the mother, she went on breastfeeding the baby and drinking from the water until the water in the water skin had been used up. So she and the baby became thirsty. She left the baby as she couldn't endure looking at him. And she found the mountain of As-Safa was the nearest mountain to her. If you look to the board, sister, this is the mountain, As-Safa mountain. It was the nearest to her. So she stood on the mountain trying to look for any source of water. She decided to climb that mountain to be in the highest point so that she can see all the valley, but there was no signs of water. So she started looking, but she couldn't see anything. So she descended from As-Safa and she ran until she find the other mountain, which is called Al-Marwa. She stood above it to try to look to find any water or any person. There was nothing. She came down. She ran again up to As-Safa. She did this 7 times. running up and down without the baby. She left the baby because the baby was crying, and she can't tolerate to look to the baby while he is crying, and they don't have water, and she doesn't have any breast milk, so she's running just to find anything. And actually,
I'm sure Allah gave her the strength to do that.
Yes.
Because I couldn't have done it.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, Daniel, always at the time of hardship, you will realize that you have a lot of energy. Yes, yeah. Mentally and physically. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, to continue the story, for the seventh time, when she was up above the mountain Al-Marwa, the seventh times of her running, she heard a voice. And she asked herself to be quiet and to listen with attention. She was not sure about that voice. She heard the voice again, so she says, "Oh, whoever you may be, you have made me hear your voice. Have you got something to help me?" Actually, it was Angel Jibreel. Allah the Almighty sent Angel Jibreel. You know, sister, this is Allah's mercy. Okay? We must be always looking for the mercy of Allah when you listen to this very special story. Okay? Actually, she found the Angel Jibreel digging the earth till the water flowed from Zamzam well. You know, this is how Zamzam well, you know, the water, we have it in this, through these events. Okay, when she was looking for water, Allah made the angel Jibreel to dig the water, to dig the land, you know, and the water flowed up. Okay? She started filling her water skin with water, and she drank and breastfed her baby. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid of being neglected, for the house of Allah will be built by this boy and his father, and Allah never neglects his people." She lived in this way till some people from the tribe of Jarham, they passed by her and her child and landed in the lower part of Mecca. Actually, she decided to leave her beside, you know, Zamzam well. And one time there were people from a tribe called tribe of Jarham. They were, you know, walking around. They noticed that the birds are around that spot. And they always believe that if the birds are around a spot in the desert, this means that there is water in that spot. So they decided to come to take a look. They found Hajar and her son. They asked her to accept them, to live with her and to become her family and her tribe. She accepted on one condition, that she will be the one to control them the water. You know? So they agreed, and she lived with Prophet Ismail in this place. Okay? The first event related to Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail. Prophet Ibrahim was 88 years old. He was looking for that son, and he was commanded by Allah to leave that son in the desert where there are no signs of life. Okay, but because of his deep belief in Allah's mercy, Allah the Almighty, after the test was over, Allah sent his mercy in the form of Zamzam well. Okay, so that every one of us, when we will learn this story from the Quran, and when we will go to Hajj and run between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, this is in Hajj, you know, you run seven times, okay, you will remember Hajar, the mother, you will remember the father, you will remember the son, you will remember Allah's mercy, and whatever hardship you face in your life, if you try to compare it with that hardship, it is nothing. Okay, and actually, you know, we can always say the story, but to live the story is totally different. You know, if you try to think, you know, of a valley where there are no people, no water, no tree, no nothing, and there is a mother and the baby with no water, with nothing. Okay, and she was convinced that so long this is Allah's command, So Allah will never, leave us. Okay? This is the reality of the belief in Allah's mercy. All the time in the depths of the darkness, I am waiting for Allah's mercy and I am looking for Allah's mercy. You know, this is the lesson, okay, related to that event. Now we will continue, okay, with the second event related to Allah's mercy in the life of Prophet Ibrahim. Actually, Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, actually, they were tested with another test, which is more difficult by Allah, okay, and again they were saved, yes. Actually, Prophet Ismail, he lived with his mother Hajar in Mecca with those people, the tribe of Jarham. As for Prophet Ibrahim, he was living with his wife Sarah, number one, in Asham in Syria. Prophet Ibrahim used to go every so often to check on his son and his wife. On one of the visits, when Ismail grew up and started to go out with his father and to walk with him, on that visit, a great event happened, which was a symbol of the true faith and submission to Allah's will, and also a proof of Allah's mercy. But before mentioning about this event, sister, I want you to try to imagine the feelings of Prophet Ibrahim towards his son Ismail. He had that son while he is 88 years old. And he was about to lose that son in the desert according to Allah's promise. But Allah saved that son, a sign for the father that inshallah everything will be alright in the rest of the life. But it was not alright again. You know, all of these events are lessons for us in our daily life. Okay? Allah the Almighty planned to give Prophet Ibrahim and his son a more difficult test again in life. Okay? But out of the belief in Allah's mercy, we always obey the commands of Allah. Believing that even if the command is so difficult and so tough for us, but Allah's mercy will save us at the end. So let us obey the command of Allah. Okay? This is the lessons of these stories of the Quran. The stories are in the Quran are not for the sake of a story, you know. But the stories in the Quran are for the sake of being lessons for us in our worldly life. Okay? When you learn about these hardships and how they are saved from them, you always have the hope in your spirit that as Allah saved Prophet Ibrahim from the fire, as Allah saved Ismail the baby from death in the desert, as Allah inshallah will save him again, inshallah Allah is able to make for me an outlet and to open for me a gate of his mercy, even in the darkness of any hardship. Okay, so now we will learn about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the second hardship in the life of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail. We will read from Surah number 37, from verse 100 to 107. Allah, we will read now from Surah number 37. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will start from verse 100. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, up to 111. 100 to 111. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رب هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين.
My Lord, grant me offspring from the righteous. So we gave him the glad tidings of a forbearing son. And when his son was old enough to walk with him, he said, "O my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you, offering you in sacrifice to Allah. So look what you think." He said, "O my father, do that which you are commanded, inshallah. You shall find me of the patient." Then they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid himself prostrate on his forehead, or on the side of his forehead, for slaughtering. We called out to him, "O Abraham, you have fulfilled the dream. Verily, thus do we reward the Mutsinun, the good doers. Verily, that indeed was a manifest." And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, and we left for him among the later generations a goodly remembrance. Salam, peace be upon Abraham. Thus indeed we do reward the Mutsinun, the good doers.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. So actually, sister, this is one of the visits of Prophet Ibrahim to his wife Hajar and their son Ismail. And on that visit, it was that Prophet Ibrahim said to his son Ismail that he saw a dream that he is slaughtering him. So he said to his son, "Look what you think." The young boy, the righteous one, answered calmly, politely, and in total obedience to Allah and to his father, as Ismail, the son, believed that this dream is a command from Allah. Prophet Ismail grew up and he knows that his father is obedient to Allah. And he knows also, or he knew that his father loved him a lot, because he is his only son whom he had at the age of 8 years. So to slaughter him, okay, must be a command from Allah to Prophet Ibrahim. Otherwise, Prophet Ibrahim will never slaughter his son for the sake of any worldly issues. Okay? So, believing that this is a command from Allah, he said to his father to do that which he was commanded. Okay? This is in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in verse number 102, he said, "O my father, do that which you are commanded." This is the proof that Prophet Ismail, the son, he believed that slaughtering him is a command from Allah, and his father, the Prophet, must obey Allah's command. And he said to him, "You shall find me one of the patient." Okay? So when both of them had pronounced a shahada, you know, sisters, when someone is about to die in Islam, he must die saying, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Accordingly, because they were expecting Ismail to die, they started to pronounce a shahada, both of them. Subhanallah. You see what kind of hardship Prophet Ibrahim was facing. His only son, whom he had at the age of 8 years, who was saved from death while he was baby, again he is facing death, and this time he is facing death by the hand of his father. Can you imagine? You know, this is actually, for me, is above my imagination.
Yeah,
I can't see it.
I know.
I can't look at it.
About that these days, there's no way to handle that.
Yes. Subhanallah, you know, and not just to look at his son, you know, to slaughter his son with his hand, you know, to have the knife, and to, this is extremely difficult, you know. Allah is teaching us about, you know, this severe hardship. I will tell you the lesson, inshallah. So they pronounced the shahada, and actually, because Prophet Ibrahim was about to offer a sacrifice, and Prophet Ismail was about to die, they submitted themselves to Allah, and Prophet Ibrahim had led Ismail with his face down. He put him down like this, okay, as he was about to start slaughtering him. But you know, sisters, this is Allah the Almighty. The goal of this story and the goal of this command is not to slaughter Prophet Ismail. The goal is to test the obedience of Prophet Ibrahim to Allah. As a lesson to every one of us, when we face hardships, we will obey Allah, or we will regret obeying Allah because we are afraid. Okay? He was not afraid. He was so brave. Actually, above any human being capability to do so. But the minute Prophet Ibrahim put Prophet Ismail on his face, actually, at this stage, they have done all that is required to them. Okay? All that reminded was the actual shedding of Ismail's blood and his death. This what was, the remaining of the story. But at this moment, Ibrahim was called by Allah, "You have fulfilled the dream." That is to say, the reality of the dream was to lay down your son to sacrifice him. Okay? Not to slaughter him. Just to lay him down like this. This was the reality of the dream. But Prophet Ibrahim was under impression that the dream is to slaughter his son because of the position. He saw in the dream his son on his face, lying on his face. Okay? So he was under the impression that he must slaughter him. Okay, so Allah called him that you have fulfilled the dream. Okay, then Allah ransomed this young man who had submitted himself to Allah's will, the son, with a noble sacrifice. It is reported that the sacrifice was a ram, which Ibrahim found ready by Allah's will, and that he sacrificed this ram in the place of Ismail. And this is actually what we follow, in our Eid or in our big festival as Muslims, that we sacrifice, the sacrifice. This is in relation to Prophet Ismail, how Allah saved him and the ram was instead of him. Okay? So again and again, sisters, we will have to have some time with this story so that we can feel Allah's mercy in our life. We can be always looking for Allah's mercy. We are supposed never to lose the hope in Allah's mercy. As Prophet Ibrahim said also, that he never lose the hope in Allah's mercy. We will just revise now about Prophet Ibrahim. Okay, and his son, and how Allah's mercy took place in the life twice regarding the son. Actually, this is Prophet Ibrahim, the old man, 88 years old, who left all his people and migrated to foreign land, being given a baby, which he was calling on Allah to have that baby for a long time. On having the precious baby at that very old age and after the hardship of being thrown in the fire, it was Allah's wisdom to test Prophet Ibrahim twice with that son. The first test was when Prophet Ibrahim left the baby with his mother in the barren valley at a command from Allah, a test which is so hard for any father. Okay? For any father, it is very difficult, but for that father who was looking for that baby up to the age of 88 years, this is a very special situation. But again and again, sisters, this is the most important message of the Quran. The mercy of Allah and the mercy of the Quran. When you listen to these verses of the Quran and when you try to reflect on the message of this story which we listen now, it is for every one of us. For every one of us who recites the Quran, Allah's mercy is so close in hand. Any hardship has an end, inshallah, which is through Allah's mercy. There is no hardship beyond Allah's mercy. I must be looking always for Allah's mercy. If I try to compare my hardship with the hardship of Prophet Ibrahim regarding his son Ismail, the first one, I can't compare any hardship with the hardship of a father who is commanded by Allah to leave a mother and a baby breastfeeding in a barren valley and to say to them, "Assalamu alaikum, I am leaving." What is the meaning of this?
Imagine that.
Yes, you can't imagine. How I will move, when my daughter is having an exam and, she's studying at home alone. And if anyone will call me for a visit, for a phone call, for anything, I always say no. This is my responsibility. I must share her while she's studying, while she is struggling, you know, I must be beside her. I can make tea, I can give her some food, I can give her psychological support. This is my responsibility. What about Prophet Ibrahim, the prophet? You know, the prophet who is having the pure faith, the prophet who has the best manners, who is commanded to leave his son in the desert, okay, and to say Assalamu alaikum and to move around. That's it. Okay, nobody can do this except with the belief and the full belief in Allah's mercy. Prophet Ibrahim was sure that Allah, all the power is with them. If he left, okay, he is nothing, because Allah is everything. Okay, and he is leaving them to Allah, not leaving them alone in the desert. Okay, so you must always have this meaning clear in your spirit. Allah will never leave me alone, because Allah is always with every one of us, and Allah's mercy is so close to the good doers. If you are all the time obeying Allah, if you are all the time fearing Allah, okay, be sure that inshallah Allah's mercy is in the corner. Here, very close. Inshallah, it will come to reality very soon. I am sure. And when you tell me, Sister Mona, why you are sure, I tell you, try to remember the story of Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, when Ismail was in the desert, a breastfeeding baby alone, with no water, his mother doesn't have any water, there is no drink, there is no food. Your situation in life is similar to that situation? Never. Never. So all praise to Allah. Inshallah, Allah's mercy is very close. This is number one. Number two, the second event is more complicated and more difficult. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to slaughter your son? The son whom you have while you are 88 years old, the only son you have. Did Allah commanded you to slaughter him with your hand? All praise to Allah. Never. So my hardship, I can't compare any hardship with that hardship.
I'm just trying to imagine, you know, because I've never been able to have kids. And if my husband, you know, he never had children, you know, if Allah told him to slaughter his own son, which he had at 88 years old, it would be impossible, you know, mashallah.
Yes, actually, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. For any mother and father, yeah, it is impossible. Yeah. You know, but this is Prophet Ibrahim.
Yeah.
And because of that, Allah said in the Quran, he is equal to a nation in his belief, in the depth of the belief. Because normal father and mother will never, they will try to find any excuse with Allah. Oh Allah, I can't. Oh Allah, excuse me. Oh Allah, this is, you know, more than my burden. I can't tolerate it. And you said in the Quran that you never put on us any burden more than what we can tolerate, so I will not do it. Okay? Out of my belief in the Quran. But Allah the Almighty in the Quran is teaching us that there are hardships in life which are very great. Okay? So don't try all the time to maximize your hardship. Okay? Try to remember.
You have to believe in Allah that He will find a way out of the hardship. You know, because this is His will to begin with,
yes,
to give you this test. So if He's the one who gave you the test, He will help you get out of it to resolve it, you know?
And again, you know, I want, you know, every one of us, okay, to believe that Allah doesn't wish to overburden us with the test or to put us in hardships, okay, which we cannot tolerate. This is not the goal of Allah from creating us. You know, sister, this is the basics of the belief. Okay, and we always need to remind ourselves with the basics of the belief. Allah doesn't create us, okay, to put us in hardships, to give us hard time, to make our life so difficult. No, this is not the goal of our creation. Allah is the most merciful. Okay, but life is a test. Okay?
You know, I used to think sometimes, why does Allah give us these tests? You know, astaghfirullah, the way I used to think, like, He's so cruel, you know, like, but how can you think that about Allah, you know? I mean, I feel so ashamed for ever thinking like that, you know?
Oh, yes.
I used to think, why does he give us these tests? You know, like, it doesn't make sense, you know.
Every human being at a time here in his life or in her life, okay, out of, you know, of the weak belief in every one of us, you question, Allah, you know, your life circumstances.
Right.
Oh, Allah, my life can be more easy without this problem.
Yeah.
What, why you put me in that problem? Please get it out. It is too much for me.
I don't question it. I just say, well, don't know. Okay, I don't think I'm doing it the right way. You know, and I think maybe I did something. Maybe I angered a lot. I think back.
You always blame yourself.
Yes, I did something. What did I do? This didn't happen before. And now this, I did something wrong. And then I start thinking. I don't question why Allah. I don't say
Alhamdulillah.
No, because that's,
this is good.
I try. It's
not,
you know,
the question.
But I do say it's too hard.
Yes.
I can't. Please. This
sounds so familiar. I'm sorry.
I
don't know. I'm sorry.
You know, this is me. I sometimes I try to be positive, but sometimes it's
too
I make
much.
Dua.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. Yes. It is patience. You know. Sometimes you run out of patience.
You want to say anything?
Yeah. You know, before I used to think my life was so easy. And I was always waiting for something to happen, you know, like, okay, my life is so easy now.
When is the test?
When is it going to come, you know? And now I'm having this test. SubhanAllah, you know, this is what I get, you know. And I shouldn't be complaining.
Yes.
I don't have to complain. So, alhamdulillah, that I'm going through this now. Hopefully Allah will forgive me for all the things I did and for doubting, you know, for doubting. And so I have to take what I get, you know.
I'm like the other side of the continuum. I'm always thinking, you know, what's the answer?
Yeah.
How do I stop this? How do I solve it and get this test over?
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, sisters, what Allah is in need of us is that we must be ready to obey all His commands in full obedience. And once we prove to Allah our obedience, there will be no need for sacrifice or for pain. Because Allah will consider that we've already fulfilled our duties, and Allah will send His mercy to us. This is what is behind the hardship. The hardship is a test from Allah. Whether we will obey or we will not obey Him. The second you accept the hardship, okay, this means that the hardship ended for you. Inshallah, Allah's mercy will come. But most of the Muslims, they don't accept the hardship. This is the issue, you know. And, you know, this is a very important basic rule of belief in Islam. You must believe that Allah, the Almighty, is the only planner in this life. Everything is run according to the will of Allah. So, if you are a true believer in His oneness, you must accept everything from Allah. Acceptance means obedience to Allah. Okay? The second, and I want to clarify to you this fact. The second, you accept the hardship. What is the meaning of this? If I start to have pain in my knee joints, more pain, then I go to the doctor, then the physician told me you have, for example, severe osteoarthritis, and, you know, it may deteriorate. Okay, I have two options, either to accept and to say to myself, this is the decree of Allah, Mona. You don't have anything to say from the depths of your heart. You know, this is the most important, not with my lips. From the depths of my heart, oh Allah, I am accepting your decree. The second your heart accepts Allah's decree, the same second Allah will shower you with His mercy. Okay, but the opposite, which most of the human being did out of their weak belief in Allah and ignorance regarding Allah's rules in the worldly life. Whatever Allah commanded will happen. You like it
or not?
You like it, you will save yourself. You don't like it, you will be the one to suffer. This is not related to Allah the Almighty. Most of the people, if they become sick okay, when the doctor will tell me you have severe osteoarthritis, I will start to cry. I will be very upset. Oh Allah, why? I was all the time obeying you. I was all the time coming to the masjid. I never use my, my legs for anything which you don't like. Oh Allah, what will happen to me? Oh Allah, why? You are not a true believer in Allah. This is Allah's command. If you believe that, it will never change. You already have severe osteoarthritis, done. If you believe that it is done, okay, from Allah the Almighty, immediately, and you have a pure heart, you will accept it. Very simple. It will not be very tough for you. It will not be severe pain for you. You know, this is Allah's mercy. Allah is testing me with illness. Allah will reward me if I accept it, so I am the winner. So I will win. Because when you accept Allah's decree, you will be rewarded. When you are patient with Allah's decree, you will be rewarded. When you are thankful to Allah for everything, you will be rewarded. So either you will be rewarded, and at the same time, all praise to Allah, I am accepting. Why? Because I am looking for Allah's mercy. I already have severe arthritis, but out of Allah's mercy, I am walking normally. How I am walking normally? Out of Allah's mercy, because I accepted the hardship. But on the opposite side, if I become very upset, very angry, not accepted, the pain will be more severe. Then I will start to have headache. Then, I will have pressure on my immune system. Then I will start to have some allergy. Then I will not sleep at night. Okay? Exaggeration. The hardship now will start to be not one hardship. A lot of hardship. Okay? And I will be more far away from Allah. And I will be punished by Allah. Because it is not your choice to accept or not to accept. Yes. This is one of the rules of the Quran. Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, they are not supposed to choose. This is out of the test of the worldly life. I am not supposed to say, no Allah, I don't want severe osteoarthritis. No. This is not one of the rules of the worldly life. I don't accept, I want to choose. Human beings are under the impression that I am choosing my husband. I am choosing my qualification. I am choosing the land. We are not choosing anything except obedience of Allah. This is what you choose or you don't choose. If you choose to obey Allah, you will be rewarded. If you don't choose, you will be punished. This is the test of the worldly life. Our test in the worldly life is only related to choice regarding obedience and disobedience. But to choose my kids, to choose my husband, no. This is out of the equation. And Allah clarified this rule in the Quran. Accordingly, whenever I face any hardship, I say to myself, Mona, this is from Allah. Already done. Okay? There is no way except in reality, to accept it. And to call on Him for His mercy. That's it. And inshallah, Allah will make it easy for me, for you, and for every believer. And this is the story of Prophet Ibrahim. This is what we will learn in every class, about how Allah, the Almighty, is testing hardly and severely the prophets. Not for the sake of the story, for the sake of every believer who recites the Quran, and every day you make it more clear to your spirit. Allah's mercy. Not Allah, change my husband, change my kids, send me back, do for me, do that, I want to choose. No, never. Out of the equation. Just call on His mercy in every, event of your life. Allah's mercy is the only way to save us. But to change and to object and not to like and to become angry, it is your problem. Okay, so this is the message related to Allah's mercy, in relation to Prophet Ibrahim. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.